This morning, I'd like to share with you a brief message that is germane to what we're all going through. The passage is from John's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 5 through 26. And the title of the message is called, A Socially Distant Samaritan. Would you read along with me, follow me, as I read this passage? So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as also did his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." She said, "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet his time is coming, and now has come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that the Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." You see, the gospel changes your life now. It changes every part of your life. It changes you from the top to the bottom and from the inside out. And the ministry of the church, meaning all that we do in Christ's name, is to show how that gospel changes every part of your life. This is an immense issue to deal with. The hope is that every person in the community and every visitor in the church and every person you meet will ask the question, "How can this happen in my life?" And then you can answer them and testify to the hope of glory that is in you. An interesting thing, as you go through and drive through Philadelphia, if you ever drive north on Route 76 through Philadelphia, just north of the Philadelphia Museum of Art, is what's called Boathouse Row. It's beautiful. And placed right behind there is a statue of a pilgrim holding a huge Bible. And if you take the path behind the pilgrim, it leads up to Old Brewery Town, Pennsylvania, a section of Philadelphia. And this path leads right to a fountain, and the inscription on the fountain reads this: "Whosoever shall drink of this water shall thirst again." It is a reference to John chapter 4, verse 13, our passage this morning. And it makes a very good point. What this verse and this fountain point out is that when you drink of the gospel, there is a change in a person's life. In fact, Jesus' life-giving change goes out to everyone. To give you some background information now about this passage that you may already know, is we know that the Jews and the Samaritans hated each other. There was a great deal of animosity and exclusivity in each group, and it was accompanied by racial hatred. We also know that in this particular society, men did not speak to women in public if they did not know them. We also know that this Samaritan woman went to draw water from the well at the sixth hour, which is noon. Women usually do not go to draw water at that hour. They come in the morning before the day's chores when it's cool, and then they go back at night in the cool of the day, but never at noon. And we also know that she came alone, which later in the story we discover she is a social and moral outcast. She comes at noon when there are no other women there. She is clearly maintaining her social distance from other women, not because of a pandemic, but this woman is doing this because she is at the bottom of the social and economic ladder. She isn't even on the first rung. But Jesus' words greatly appealed to her. Why? Well, the first point is this. First, the gospel is for those who know they are spiritually distant. The gospel is for all people. It's egalitarian. It's this. It's the belief or principle that all people deserve to hear and know the gospel and receive the grace of Jesus Christ. What does Jesus do in this passage? Well, he talks to her. He strikes up a meaningful conversation with her that engages her heart. Jesus engages this woman who is a social and moral outcast, and she feels distant from God. But he reaches right across that distance to her. He crosses every barrier to engage her in a life-altering discussion about her distant life. He first tells her these words in John chapter 4, verse 10. Jesus said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it asks for you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The very first thing that he tells her is that this gospel is a gift for her. She doesn't know it's a gospel yet, but she knows, she hears that one word, "If you knew the gift of God," and this automatically appeals to her. Why? Because if the life-changing power of God is something that she doesn't have to attain, something she doesn't have to achieve, then this message from Jesus immediately appeals to her. You see, if the gospel is not something that you have to summon up in yourself, something that you have to generate the strength to achieve, or if the gospel was something you didn't have to work to attain or produce in your able-bodied self, then the gospel greatly appeals to every person who can't do that. They know they can't achieve it in themselves, and they hear that word gift. If God's grace goes just to those who are privileged, close to power, the morally strong, the self-disciplined, the abled body, the ones who are more talented to produce the change in themselves, then grace would favor the capable, the ones who are further up the proverbial ladder. But not if the gospel is a gift. If the gospel is a gift, then it would never favor those who think they are closer. It would never favor those who are able-bodied. It would favor those who are distant, those who are far away. Not the more capable or the more self-disciplined. It would favor everyone. Everyone who realizes that they are spiritually distant and they don't measure up. They can't. They never will. That's why grace is for the distant. It is unrestricted, but it's for all people. This is why Jesus reaches across the distance. He believes that this gospel is for her and for everyone. And because the grace of God is available to everyone, especially the distant, he reaches for her. The second thing about this passage is the spiritually distant have an advantage. Since the gospel and grace of Jesus Christ is a gift, the people who are up the ladder, the ones who have the strength, who are self-disciplined, actually lack an advantage. And the people lacking in power, prestige, or strength, the spiritually distant, actually have a bit of an advantage. Why? Because if you're able to work for the gift with your own sweat and determination, then you will refuse it as a gift because you believe you can work for it. However, if you realize your social distance from others and your spiritual distance from God, you know that you will never be capable of earning it. And then when someone says, no, here, it's a gift, you'll grab it with both hands. When you hear the story and background of the Samaritan woman, you would classify her not as affluent and not close to power. No, she wasn't even on the first rung of the ladder. So what is the thing that keeps the able-bodied, capable person of grabbing the gift with both hands? What is it that stops them from taking it? There's one word only, and that's the word pride. And what encourages the weak, the incapable, the distant person to grab it with both hands? Humility. Throughout the gospel, Jesus speaks and demands more from the privileged than from the lowly. Why? So they can understand that their pride, their power, their position, their closeness to the affluent or being affluent themselves are actually keeping them from being born again or born from above. Listen to these two verses from Matthew chapter 19. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." Wow. Many people read this and think Jesus hates rich people. No. No, he doesn't. It wasn't the man's riches that kept him out of eternal life. It was his pride. I know it was his pride. How do I know it was his pride? Because of the question that the man asked Jesus right before this. He says this, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" What thing must I do, he asked Jesus, because he's at the top of the ladder with talents and abilities, self-discipline, moral strength. He isn't distant. He's close or near to power. So what must I do? Well, the first thing that Jesus tells him is obey the commandments. And he says, "I've kept all of these from my youth." And then Jesus says, "Go and let go of all of your possessions. Sell all your possessions. Give them away." I want you to understand this, to let go of the things that make you strong, capable, or close, or affluent, and become dependent. Realize your distance from God. And he can't do this. And then Jesus makes this observation again to his disciples that I just read about harder for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now, whenever I've read that passage, I thought, especially in the beginning, when I started reading the Bible, I thought, easier to go through the eye of a needle, a camel. I thought, wow, a camel going through the eye of a needle. Now, I was thinking in my mind, an actual needle for sewing. Good gracious, a sewing needle, really, a camel? But that's not the needle that Jesus is referring to here. You see, in the ancient world, some city walls had a secret entrance into the city through a small hole. And the name of that hole was called the Eye of the Needle. There's no way for a camel or a horse or any other large animal to get through that hole. And if you are a man or a woman, there would be only one way to get through the eye of the needle, and that is to get down on your hands and knees and possibly even crawl through. The idea that an able, proud, capable, dependent person would get down on their knees, crawling to God. No, they would never do such a thing. Today, I hope you realize that you may be keeping your social distance from each other, but you must not. You must never maintain your spiritual distance from God. The Son of God came to invade that distance, to smash through every wall that you try to erect. His hand will smash through every barrier and reach out to you and all people who think, who believe that they are very far from God. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul said Jesus did. He writes these words in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Paul says, "In those days you were living apart." See the distance? "You were excluded." See the distance? "From citizenship among the people of Israel. And you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God." More distance. "Without hope. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ." Jesus ends up telling the woman at the end that you've been trying to rise to the level of being loved your whole life and still feeling distant. You've been digging your own wells looking for water that you thought would satisfy. You've been keeping your distance from others, and you're done now doing that. You've gone to your own wells far too much and far too long. He then says, in other words, "I want you to come to the true well." He declares to her then these words. Jesus said, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he. I'm the well. You can't keep your distance from me anymore. I won't allow you to." So today, I invite you to come to the true well, to stop maintaining your spiritual distance from God. He's the spiritual cure. He's the true well. And there's only one thing that you and I must do, and that is humble ourselves. Get down on our knees. Humble ourselves and cry out to God. If you're at home, I invite you to pray this prayer with me that we've prayed many times in church, saying, "Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm coming back to you." Even if you've prayed it 1,000 times, what will one more time hurt? And if you haven't prayed it at all, I pray that you make this the first time of saying, "Lord, I'm coming to you. I'm not maintaining my distance with you anymore." Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I acknowledge to you that I have sinned against you in many ways. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I want you to come into my life and be my Savior. Forgive me of all my sins and give me the gift of eternal life. Come into my life and be my Lord. And help me become the person you want me to be. Amen.